Thank you for listening to Radio Bulgaria's podcast.
In this week's The Bulgarian National Radio, 80 years in 80 weeks, we go back to the years 1995 to 1997, and one of the things that brought down the cabinet of Jean Vidanov, bank failures. After the so-called grain crisis broke out in 1995, in 1996 the lev began its dramatic devaluation and inflation soared. As the economy took a plunge on the 23rd of September 1996, the Bulgarian National Bank declared it was placing 9 commercial banks under receivership. It should be borne in mind that the institutions which are functioning are in good shape, and we shall support them, the Bulgarian National Bank Governing Council declared. Yet the 9 banks under receivership were allowed to go under, and with them the savings of Bulgarians went up in smoke to the tune of billions. Years later, in his capacity of witness in a bank failure lawsuit, Jean Vidanov explained the bank hurricane that swept the country in his time as Prime Minister with the words, "The problems in the banking sector in 1995-1996 were caused by several factors. At the end of 1994, we resumed foreign debt payments. Some banks got involved in election campaigns, and general discontent with the banking system soared. State-owned banks and enterprises were our priority. Commercial banks were in the domain of the Bulgarian National Bank." Jean Vidanov conveniently forgot one more factor that had triggered the banking crisis, his cabinet's economic policy, cynically formulated by Klimen Vucev, then Minister of Industry, who openly urged state-owned enterprises not to pay back their bank credits. How many banks were in danger of going under in the spring of 1996? The answer from financier Emil Hrsev. Any financial institution is constantly in danger of going under when the financial balance of the country is seriously breached. The answer to this question would very much depend on factors like the central bank policy of refinancing and stabilization of the banking system. Non-bank financial institutions are in much greater jeopardy because a spreading panic results in a bank run, Emil Hrsev says. As the Prime Minister and the Cabinet were unable to bridle the crisis in the banking sector, the galloping inflation and the acute shortage of basic products, a reminder of the hungry Lukanov winter, that is, the winter of 1990-1991 during the second Andrei Lukanov Cabinet, more and more voices were being raised, including inside the Socialist Party itself, demanding the cabinet's resignation. On the 4th of November 1996, 19 members of the Bulgarian Socialist Party's senior leadership wrote an open letter demanding that the Prime Minister step down, and at an extraordinary congress of the party on the 21st of December, Jean Vidanov submitted his resignation. 1 week later, on the 28th of December, the National Assembly put an end to the functioning of his cabinet. Even though waves of protest were sweeping across the country, the Bulgarian Socialist Party persisted that it must form a new cabinet. On the 8th of January 1997, Nikolai Dobrev was nominated Prime Minister, 10 days before handing the post over to his successor Petr Stoyanov. President Zeluzhelev refused to offer the Socialist Party a mandate to form a new government, even though under the constitution he was obligated to do so. The opposition declared a national strike and organized a protest march in front of the National Assembly. The building was surrounded and the police broke up the demonstration. This was the atmosphere in which on the 28th of January 1997, newly elected President Petr Stoyanov formally offered the Bulgarian Socialist Party a mandate to form a new government, but in his first address to the nation, urged the Socialist Party to waive this right.
Уважаеми госпожи и господа, скъпи мои съотечественици, представях си по друг начин своето първо обръщение.
Ladies and gentlemen, countrymen, I had imagined my first address to be different, more solemn, more optimistic. But you all know the country is now in the grips of a severe political crisis. Worse, hyperinflation is at our door. What we need is political and financial stabilization, and we need it now if we want to survive and broach urgent reforms. That is why I am offering the political forces and the citizens of Bulgaria a way out of the crisis that is deadly to the Bulgarian nation. The United Democratic Forces must show understanding and temporarily return to Parliament. The MPs from the left must also cover their part of the road. But before that, in the name of national accord, they must waive the mandate they shall receive from me, said President Petr Stoyanov. On the 4th of February 1997, common sense prevailed and the Bulgarian Socialist Party handed back the mandate for forming a government, because it was clear to one and all that if the socialists continued at the helm of the country, social peace would be shattered. With the mediation of Petr Stoyanov, the political forces signed an agreement for holding early elections in April. This enabled the president to appoint a caretaker government with Prime Minister Stefan Sofianski to pave the way to elections, reveal to the public the real scope of the economic catastrophe, and stop the pillaging of the country. One of the first decisions of the new cabinet was to introduce a currency board in the country. Its term of office was seen as a step towards the next legitimate government, so the International Monetary Fund agreed to conduct negotiations with it. On the 1st of July 1997, by force of a special decree, the Bulgarian lev was pegged to the Deutsche Mark. Parallel with this, the government launched a program for the country's accession to NATO and negotiated $40 million for buying the grain, seeds and medicines Bulgaria needed from Poland. Though its term of office was but brief, the caretaker cabinet did a great deal to allay and normalize the situation in Bulgaria. The April 1997 general elections, won by the United Democratic Forces, put an end to one of the most volatile periods in the country's modern political history, turning the country towards Euro-Atlantic values. As to the bank failures of 1996, even though many lawsuits ensued, there have been no convictions to this very day.